Some of you are lying. Someone's lying there, man. We're not all feeling good. We're here because we're sinners, amen? Keisha's going, amen, tell me again, bro, I'm a sinner. But we're here because we're sinners, and it's great to be able to get together. It took me a long time to realize that I was a sinner, amen? I thought I might have been a saint for many years. Surely not. Somebody told me I may have been deceived. I probably was deceived, and yes, I was deceived. But it took a while for me to admit that I needed God, amen? There's a story of a chap. They've been married for about 60 years. The brother's going, wow, that is faith. 60 years. And at the start of the marriage, the wife, she gave the husband a little box. She said, don't open this box until I give you permission. And she put the box in the bedroom on the shelf over the wardrobe. And for 60 years, he didn't touch that box. What a great husband. Some of the brothers would have looked inside and then told a couple of lies maybe, but not once. And on her dying bed, the husband said, do you mind if I look in that box? But you said I shouldn't look in. And she said, yes, go and have a look. So, you know, he went there, picked up the box. He opened it up. He found two crocheted little dolls and £75,000. He's like, wow. So he went back to the hospital and said, what's with the crocheted dolls? And she said that when they got married, her mum told her, every time she gets upset with her husband and they get to a point of conflict that they can't resolve, she's just go away and crochet a doll. So the husband was highly moved. Only two times? He was like, wow, honey, I'm really touched. So then he said, so what about the £75,000? And she said, well, for every crochet doll I made, I sold it to the charity shop for a pound. And the other two were the ones just remaining. Amen? So, shatter the man's illusions. I don't know why I shared that, but I think it fits in with the story. No, it does fit in very well, because today we'll be talking about the law of the Lord. I'd like Michael Sokan just to bring up a slide. We'll read through Psalm 19, verse 7. I want us to talk today just about the word of God, the law of the Lord. In Psalm 19, verse 7, it reads, and it's on the screen, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. We'll stop there. If I told you at the end of the service that we have two tables at the back of the hall, one containing bags of £1 billion each, or maybe a check, it'd be a big bag. So one table there at that door, £1 billion in each bag, and at this door, a second-hand Bible, that one there. And I always said, choose one. Take either the £1 billion. I mean, just think about what £1 billion would do. I mean, you could sit and reflect. Some of you are doing that now, thinking, oh man, no more financial problems, no more work, holiday for the rest of my life, all my health challenges paid for. This would be fantastic. And then you see one tattered Bible. By the way, you can't change afterwards. You can't go and buy a Bible with £1 billion. My daughter came up with that. We said, I'll take the billion and I'll buy a Bible. I told Ella, no, that's not the way it works. You forego the other one for the rest of your life. That is the idea. You forego the Bible for the rest. You don't have access to it for the rest of your life. Which would you choose? Now, please don't give me the religious answer, right? Oh, brother, I would choose the Bible. Of course, bro. Who do you think I am? But it's tempting, isn't it? I mean, some of you are thinking, I'd actually take the blame. I hope not. But it's tempting to think, wow. And David here says, you know, they are more precious than gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And he sees the words of God or the Bible, the scriptures, as uncomparable in terms of whatever financial or other benefit you can have. He also says it's sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. If you read the Bible, it's not always sweet, all right? Some parts are nice and sweet, but some parts are quite hard. But I think we know what he meant. But he starts off just reflecting on this, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. And I just want to talk a little bit about this idea of refreshing the soul, because the Bible says the word of God is perfect, refreshing the soul. I don't know about your soul, I don't know about how you feel today, whether you feel great about life, whether you feel that your soul is refreshed, whether you feel you're in a good place. I mean, there's so many things when you think about it that can really bring down our spirit or bring down our soul. I know something, I'll just list a few. You can nod your head if you agree with me, but I know that conflict can bring the heart and make the heart weary. And you think conflict. Conflict with your spouse, wives and husbands. Conflict at work. Just makes you conflict with your children. Conflict just, oh, it wearies the soul. You think, oh, I could do without conflict. Oh, if I were left alone on a desert island with all the bits I want, I'd be happy. Yet I have to interact with people, and then you will find conflict. Another big one is disappointment. That wearies the soul. You think, at my stage in life, I envisioned I'd be here. However, I'm here. I thought when I was starting out that I would end up there. And in reality, this is what's happening. And that can really weary the soul. Really weary the soul. This idea of disappointment. And there are so many things that I think can bring about that. Addictions. Failures. I mean, failures in life. You feel you've failed. You may have tried at something so hard. And maybe you always wanted to be an accountant. And that just never really came to be. Or maybe you failed in some other areas. You just failed and thought this is bad. Maybe it's at school or college. You're just not doing as well as you thought. And it kind of wearies the soul. Failure wearies the soul. Addictions can weary the soul. You know, if you have sexual addictions, maybe you're addicted to a form of sexual sin, be it masturbation, be it pornography. This can weary the soul. Mike Olu and Lola did talks on Friday that were very, very explicit in this area. In fact, the brothers were a bit shocked by some of the things we were hearing, what Mike Olu shared, but it was all about addiction, pornography, and you know, going on to porn websites. And this wasn't just he was using statistics, not from, quote-unquote, the world, but from the church, which was quite scary. Not necessarily our church, but born-again believers. In some cases, with 50% of men being addicted to porn. It's like, what? And of course, that would reflect even in this group of people here. And Lola spoke to the sisters as well about issues. But addictions can weary the soul. If you've been fighting against a particular sin, and you find yourself really addicted and trying, it wearies the soul. It takes away a part of your life, just this soul bit. And you know what? I'm speaking from a man with, I have experience, as we all do. If I ask for a show of hands of those who have had or have at the moment a soul that is wearied, that is tired, is tested, is feeling a bit burdensome. The Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. You know, if there's anyone who understands you, it is God. And he probably understands you better than you yourself. The Bible describes God as making us. So he knows you personally. He knows your innermost being. He knows your life history. He knows your temptations. He knows your failures. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your heart. He knows your motivation. He knows how you are. He knows everything about you. Who would be the best person to get advice from? Wouldn't it be God? I mean, if God really knows you, made you, understands your weaknesses, understands your failures, understands the weariness of your soul, Who would you want to be with? You know, I put up this verse there because sometimes we think that the solutions are outside. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there are no solutions outside. But I think sometimes we don't think that going to the scriptures daily and meditating on the words of God and praying through the words of God, we will not get that refreshing. You may think you need an expert or a professional. Maybe you do. But is that on the back of really being solid in your own personal understanding of the Bible and your own fellowship with God? You know, the great thing about this verse, I think, is that sometimes we think God refreshes our soul immediately. We think, wow, you know, it says refreshes our soul. I'll just read a verse in the Bible and my soul will be refreshed in a matter of seconds. But we fail to understand. This is why I think knowing that God knows you helps. Because God himself may decide, I'm going to teach you what you need to know by patience. Maybe that's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm going to teach. He may be saying, I'm going to teach you what you need to know by pain and discomfort. That's how I'm going to teach you. And we may get all surprised and maybe just really upset that, you know, we are going through difficult and tough times. But God uses various ways to get our attention. And we have to learn to be close to God in prayer, in Bible study, and then wait and see what God will do. Yes, see the professionals if you need to see the professionals. Yes, get help if you need to get help. But are you in the Word of God? Do you understand what God is trying to tell you? Are you reading and praying through Scripture? Do you see the law of the Lord as something that is crucial in your life? Do you see it as more important? I mean, it's more precious than gold. What he's saying is that it's more important than going to work. It's more important than getting my day's salary. This is more important than working, knowing and reading and staying in the Word of God. It is refreshing. The law, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. Sorry. The law of God is perfect, refreshing the soul. Let me encourage us all to really be a people who are keen to have our souls refreshed. You know, a few years ago, the leadership team, which I'm part of, involved four men and our wives. And Barry Lamb helped because at the time there was a lot of dysfunction. When I say dysfunction, what I mean is we had different ideas of the way things were supposed to be. Now, bearing in mind that I believe we're all reading the Bible, we're all praying, we're all striving to do what is right in God's sight, there was still some disconnect. And Barry helped the group really come to a conclusion. This took a period of about 2 years, I think, or a year, between 1 and 2 years, for what I would describe as mature spiritual men talking with the help of many outsiders, really to get to the bottom of something. It took us quite a while of talking, of sticking with the plan. Let's stay. Let's not give up just because it doesn't look good at this particular point. And through a series of involvements, we stuck it out. We talked openly about our differences. We talked openly about our where we felt other people had maybe sinned against us, or we sinned against other people. We learned to listen to people, present things in a way, hopefully, that was trying to help us to be humble, to listen, to talk. We learned not to keep any secrets or keep anything under the surface. Everything was discussed. Everything was talked about. Now, this took about a year and a half. And believe me, I tell you, it was at some point, it was a point of, it was wearing my soul. This was just endless time of why doesn't that person understand my perspective? And the other person is, why doesn't Andy understand my perspective? And why doesn't he see the Bible the way I see the Bible? Why doesn't he do what I expect him to do? This is where I see him doing things. And it's interesting because all these thoughts and ideas were presented. We prayed. We were together. We had input. We used the Bible. And we had Andy Fleming involved. Gordon Ferguson was involved. Malcolm Cox was involved. Adrian Hill was involved. These are people we invited in. We worked. Barry did a great job. We fought in a spiritual sense. And it took a year and a half. That's a long time in my books. But you know what?
I tell you what, there was a day, one day when we talked and the room changed. The room changed. Refreshing. It was like, wow. Wow. Now you may think, well, I'm a Christian. It should have been sorted out in one conversation. It should have been done. I've shared my viewpoint. It should have taken it. Refreshing. What a time of refreshing. A year and a half in waiting. Refreshing is a beautiful thing. When you feel refreshed, a few days ago, and this is something I've done quite a few times over the last 20 years, I've gone on Google and searched for old friends. I don't know if you've done the same. Anyone done the same? Looking for a long-lost friend? No? Just me? Do you have friends? No, I'm just kidding. Interestingly, one of the friends I was searching for, I used to date his sister. I'm confessing, bro. I'm confessing. So for about 20 years I've been searching, quite innocently. I didn't think about it. I searched for him, I searched for her, never found them. Last week I searched for her, and I found her. Then I felt all guilty. I thought, ooh. It's funny, because before that, I hadn't found her, I didn't feel guilty. And again, I was trying to get hold of him, the Shoban, the doctor. But anyway, I found her, and in other words, I could now find him. But when I found her, I pulled back a thing and thought, I feel guilty. I feel guilty. And I wrestled it through in my mind, why do I feel guilty? You know what, even now, I'm not 100% sure. And then I just resolved, I said, okay, I'm going to talk to my wife about this. So I was thinking, and of course, fear creeps in. You think, oh, this is something I don't really want to talk about. And sometimes we think, well, maybe it's best just to keep it in. And then you wonder why your soul is not refreshed. When you carry around so many unresolved and difficult things. And anyway, I was like, oh, I'm going to have... I know the right thing to do. So I sat down with Sandra, explained, this is what I did, this is how I felt, what do you think? And it's funny, because my wife barely blinked an eyelid. I thought, well, say something. Please talk. And it all ended fine, but it's just that period of feeling guilty. That period of thinking, wow, I've done something that I'm not sure, I'm not comfortable with. And I was feeling burdened, I was feeling wearisome, and I needed some refreshing. I tell you, the Bible talks about repentance brings refreshing. There are certain things we can do that refresh us. Now, your circumstances may be very difficult and different, but I can tell you one thing. Just learning to be open and talking freely about things that concern you or bother you or things that you've sinned in brings incredible refreshing. You know, it says, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Now, the word simple here doesn't mean... it's funny, because I thought the word simple meant... I wrote it on... many years ago, I wrote it on... I'd been on a date with this sister, and I wrote down, oh, you're very simple. Ouch. I was feeling quite good about myself. Yeah. One of the brothers pulled me aside. Someone pulled me aside and said, I heard about the card I wrote. I said, you heard about the card I wrote. I think simple here doesn't mean the same simple. I think simple here probably means eager to learn. All right? Let's take that definition. Simple means eager to learn. Open to learning. Okay? Amen. But the Bible says the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The question I asked my son many years ago, and we talked this through, about this whole idea of who is a wise person? How can you tell if somebody is wise? I don't know how you tell. Maybe you say, maybe if you think they're academically bright, you know, they're very intelligent, you think maybe they must be wise. Oh, how foolish. I mean, you can see so many very intelligent people who can't handle a conversation or can't handle a spouse or a child. They don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to work those kind of things out. You may see, think someone is wise if they're able to talk to you in a way that makes you think, wow, they know lots. And maybe you're attracted to the words that people say. Maybe you look at their lifestyle and say, what's their lifestyle like for me to judge if they're wise or not? But certainly there's a call in the scriptures here. There is certainly a call for us to be wise. You know, I was chatting with my son many years ago now. He was at school, and he was struggling academically. He was finding some of the stuff at school very, very hard. He was comparing himself with other people in his class, and I think he was confused about the things that God looks at, and he was confused about wisdom. And I had to explain to him that biblically, in the Bible, God doesn't put down academics as a kind of requirement of one of his laws. He doesn't write down in the Bible, you must achieve an A grade at school. Anyone seen that in the Bible? Everyone's going, phew, man, because I got all D's, bro. And man, I just escaped. The Bible doesn't say you must get A's, B's. It doesn't mention that. It doesn't even mention things like you must achieve a certain amount. It doesn't. However, he was struggling, and he's okay with me sharing. He's not here today, but he's happy with me to share. And he was struggling just to understand just this whole idea of wisdom, I think, and being wise in God's eyes. And we went through this verse together in James chapter 3. In James chapter 3 verse 13 it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." And just a bit further down it says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." You know, some of the words it uses for wisdom, we would never associate with this. This is a wise person. Yeah, this is a wise person. Somebody who is pure-hearted. In fact, you might look down among them, at them. They're pure-hearted. They're not wise. God says that is a wise person. Wisdom from heaven. Considerate. If someone is considerate, if they consider other people, God sees that as incredible wisdom. If somebody is being considerate, they're considering my feelings. They're considering my circumstances. They're considering my situation. They consider. They're not just thinking about getting what they want. They're genuinely considering me. The Bible describes that as wisdom. I would never have thought that that would be wisdom. But God considered it as wisdom. Somebody who shows that they're being considerate. Someone who's submissive. Wow. Someone who's submissive. You know, God sees that as wisdom. You may think of it as foolishness. Wives, submit to your husbands. What's that? God says that is wisdom. No, we must submit to one another, the Bible says. That is wisdom, submitting to one another. Being comfortable having somebody over you. And likewise for you to be over someone else. That is the idea of submission. When I say over, not in an abusive way, but just learning from and having an authority figure, maybe who is above you. Full of mercy. You know, mercy is an incredible, incredible thing. But someone who shows mercy to me, or if I show mercy to someone else, God considers that as great wisdom. See, all the things I'm talking about here, they don't require any academic content. There's no academic content. This is simply, as it said in the first part of that verse, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. This is purely an observational thing. How do you know if somebody's wise? It's not what they say. It's not how confident they are before you. It's not how complicated and intriguing their answer is. It's their life. Are they considerate? Are they peace-loving? Are they merciful? Are they kind? That is wisdom. And God says here, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. You know, if you are seeking wisdom, the Bible makes quite clear in Proverbs 14, there's a way that seems right to man, and that in the end leads to death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. The Bible says there are some things we can be fully convinced of and fully committed to. And in terms of our understanding, we're fully in agreement with, but it can lead to death. However, if we turn to the statutes of the Lord, if we turn to the Bible and what the Bible says, that is the authority. A lot of people don't want to, when I was studying the Bible to become a Christian, I used to say things like, well, the Bible is full of contradictions. If somebody said, where, I'd struggle a little bit. I'd think, I'd start being fuzzy. Well, doesn't it say the Bible will be made in 7 days somewhere? That was it. What I wasn't open to was the fact that the Bible was going to contradict me, basically. The reason why I had a problem was it didn't agree with my ideas. And I was hoping it would, but it didn't. So it meant that I had to change. Not the Bible. Not God. I had to change. Believe me, we're talking resistance. I didn't want to admit that I've been living the last so many years of my life in a wrong way. Because it's very hard, particularly maybe for men, to admit that. Sisters are like, yay, bring Jesus on. The men are like, I'm going to have to admit that I've been in the wrong. It was hard for me. It may not be hard. Some of the brothers like, Bri, I'm pure hearted. It was easy for me. Maybe it was easy for you, but it was hard for me, okay? And I didn't appreciate that it was the scriptures that would make me wise. It wasn't the academics or the environment or the people I was with. It was the scriptures. The Bible makes me wise. If you're looking for wisdom outside of the scriptures, I would say stop. Stop looking. And when I say stop, I don't mean stop. I mean look to the scriptures first. Get your foundation for wisdom through what God says. What does God teach about wisdom? Then you can go anywhere else you want in the world, but certainly there's a call for us to get that right. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Oh my goodness, joy. I mean, joy is one of those things that maybe you think, you know, I just don't seem to be able to be joyful. Joy? Hard. How do I get to become joyful? One of the interesting things about joy is probably, I mean, certainly if you're married with kids, ask your kids if you're joyful. Oh man, I'm not going to do that, man. Hey, mum. Oh, you can ask your kids. Hey, John. Hey, James. Am I a joyful person? Do I come across full of joy? I think that's a good thing to do. Amen? And if you're a teen, you can ask your parents. Ask your parents, am I full of joy? Joy and happiness. Okay, now joy and happiness are different things, all right? Happiness may be dependent on your circumstances. You're happy because you got a pay rise, maybe. Everyone's saying, man, that's not happening in a long time, man, pay rise. What's that, bro? What do you mean pay rise? Keeps going down. But pay rise, like, wow, brings happiness. Maybe you have a nice meal. You think, wow, I'm happy now. Or you go on holiday. Oh, I'm happy. Or you watch a great film. I'm happy, happy, happy. Joy is a state of being content wherever you are. You know, joy, the Bible calls us to rejoice. Rejoice is the same as joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. We are meant to be joyful people. If you have a very sad and depressed demeanor most of the time, how's that going to attract people to Christ? I mean, I wouldn't like to be around you if you came across depressed, unhappy, down all the time. Now, don't get me wrong, we're humans, all right? We have ups and downs, and we have our battles, and we have to... And I'm not presenting this as a just be joyful, come on, smile everyone, we're all joyful. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is, the Bible says that staying in the Word of God can bring joy. If you say, how can I get joy? Again, the Bible says, stay in the Word of God. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Listen, gang, joy is something people can see. You can't tell me with a sad face that you're joyful. You can't tell me. You're sitting there going, I'm joyful, bro. And you're all down and things are raging through your mind. And remember, with the first time we talked about refreshing of the soul, we talked about becoming wise. And David here is calling people to the Bible. This is more precious than gold, sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Come back to the Word of God. Get the joy that God is calling you to have. It says, the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The New Living Translation says, it gives insight to life. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes, giving insight to life. The Bible is beautiful in terms of giving us eyes to see. Now, you may think, you know, I can see pretty well, thanks. I don't need the Bible to bring radiance to my eyes. But the Bible has an incredible way of opening up your eyes. Before I became a Christian, I don't think I'd ever said sorry to someone. I didn't quite understand the concept of saying sorry. I didn't quite get it because I thought I was probably right anyway. So why should I say sorry? And I'm serious, I didn't quite get that. And my eyes were... Now, I thought my eyes were fully open. I thought I could see properly. And then, through a lot of help... I think marriage helps, amen? You have to say sorry many times. Sorry, man. Sorry. You have to practice in front of the mirror. Sorry. Sorry. I'm sorry. I did it. Me. Sorry. Sorry. And sorry becomes a common kind of sorry. Please, sir. Forgive me. Am I forgiven? Sorry. And you have to ask for forgiveness as well. You don't just say, sorry, honey, am I forgiven? Yes. What do you mean by yes? You really forgive me? I forgive you. Awesome. I'm forgiven. Sorry. But this verse, the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. I tell you what, you know, when the Bible says things like, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, tell that to someone who's not a Christian. Sorry, say that verse again. Or love your enemies. Sorry, I don't see how this is helping. Love your enemies. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We also forgive everyone who sins. We forgive everyone who sins against us. God forgive me. Some of these concepts and ideas, they are a bit weird if you think about them. In fact, they're quite weird. You know, the Bible says quite clearly that unless we forgive, God will not forgive us. I think God said that for a reason. He understands the foolishness of not forgiving people. You know, if there's anyone in your life that you haven't forgiven, really, it comes back to the first verse there. It talks about refreshing the soul. Your soul will not be refreshed. If you're holding something against someone, just holding it, not wanting to let go. Seriously, the Bible opens up our eyes so that we can see. It makes our eyes radiant so that we can see where we're going. And the Bible says just digging into the Word, going into the Word, will help us to do this. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. There is a call for... the Bible talks about it. It says in verse 9, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. Fear is a good... it's a motivator. And it's a good one. I was motivated by fear to become a Christian. I was afraid of going to hell. Yeah, I don't think I became a Christian because I loved Jesus. I was afraid of going to hell. I believed that there was going to be a judgment. The Bible said there was going to be a judgment. I knew in my conscience that I couldn't justify passing that judgment. I couldn't explain why I would or wouldn't, but I knew I was fearful. I was fearful of judgment. I was fearful of death. I was fearful of having to meet my maker. And so the fear of the Lord to me was a motivator to become a Christian. And if you're not a Christian or not on the right path to becoming a Christian, fear of the Lord is a great thing. Now, the Bible says we need to love God as well, and God loves us, and we're His brothers, and we're all together. That's fine. But I don't think it is possible. And the Bible calls us, it says that fear is the beginning of knowledge. That we can become Christians or live the Christian life without a healthy fear. And the question is for us is, Do we have that healthy fear? Enduring forever. That gives you some sense of, you know what, forever. This will go on. The fear of the Lord is good. It will carry us on forever. It endures forever. It will take us through to infinity. After we die, boom, it's all okay. This whole idea of the fear of the Lord. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and of all them, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. In conclusion, it says in the last verse there, it talks about them. By them your servant is warned. I hope you've been warned today. All right? And this is the warning, if you weren't clear. Maybe you're thinking, what was the warning, brother? The warning is, read your Bibles every day. Okay? Meditate on the scriptures. Write down things that refer to yourself, that maybe God is trying to teach you. Write down things maybe you've learned. But there's just this sense, and then, of course, acting on them. But it's the word of God is your foundation. Don't try and get through your day without reading the word of God. And he says, by them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is a great reward. Listen. If you're frustrated in life, if you could connect with me on a lot of these things I've been talking about, I consider myself today to be extremely blessed. More, when I say extreme, I think I would go as far as saying infinitely blessed. Overwhelmingly blessed. I'm thankful. Hopefully I'm joyful. But I'm extremely blessed. And if you say, how did it get there? I really don't know. All I know is that throughout my life, daily reading the Bible, daily applying it, going through some of the things we've talked about here, putting it into practice, God will truly bless. Thank you for attention. Amen.
Awesome. Andy, thank you so, so much for a great, great message. I think it's a resounding message. It's loud and clear. We need to be based in the Word. We need to know our Bibles. We need to be. There's so much benefit. There's so much that we gain from the Bible. I think definitely for me, before as a Christian, the Bible was a dusty old book on the shelf that no one ever read. To me, it was something that never really applied. It was something that didn't mean anything to anybody, really. To me, it was something that was old-fashioned and outdated. And even as I began to read, I began to realize how wrong I really was and how far from the truth that was. And even as a disciple, it's been a back and forth. You know, all of us know that the older we get, the more we get in the Bible, the more we realize how much depth it has. You've been reading the Bible for decades. There's still so much you can learn. If you've just started, there's so much you can gain from it. I think from all of us, no matter where we are in our lives, no matter how old we are, no matter who we are, no matter what we do, no matter how much we know, there's always so much we can learn from the scriptures. There's so much joy to be gained. There's so much peace. And they are definitely so much more valuable than any gold or silver or any other worldly pursuit. So thank you, Andy, so much for a great message. Okay. I want to make, I pray to close in a bit. I just want to make one quick announcement. We found a phone in the parking lot. So again, reiterating the lost property message, but I don't know. Does anybody recognize this? Is anybody's phone? I hear some woos. Scott. Is this Scott's? And it's great to have Scott back with us after his kidney. Yeah. So we'll forgive the oversight. But anyway, thank. All right, let's go and pray. One more song. Oh, yeah, and then song after that. Dear Father God, I just want to pray so much for the for a great service we've had today. Thanks so much for Andy's message, God. It was fantastic just to hear from him, just preaching from your word about your word, God, and helping us to really deepen and build our convictions on how much we need the Bible, God, how much we need your word in our lives, God. You have made it so readily accessible for us, God. We don't have to jump through so many hoops. We don't have to go to a certain place to read. It's not in a different language, God. It's so available to us. It's something we can carry around us every day. It's something we can memorize and read, God, and even have written on our hearts, God. It's such an incredible thing that you've given us, God. It's such a blessing, and I really pray we can really apply that into our lives, God. Thank you so much for the service today. We pray in your son's name. Amen. Can we have a final song?
Let's stand for our final song, Rise Up, O Men and Women of God.